Hi, everybody. Welcome to Humane Voices, the official podcast of the Humane Society of the United States. I'm Carrie and here with Kelly again. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Carrie.
I don't know if you guys saw this in the news recently, but French bulldogs have become the most popular dog breed in the U.S. They finally bumped the Labrador Retriever out of the number one slot, and I'm sure those incredibly friendly family dogs just really don't care. I'm sure they're wagging just as much. Mm-hmm. And also, for those of you who are actually dog show followers, Westminster was last night. And, you know, while we did not see the Frenchie take the top spot, we did see a Frenchie come in I think it was in the non-working dog category. It won there. And then a Pekingese also was pretty highly honored as well. And while dogs like this are obviously incredibly adorable, French bulldogs are just so cute and they're so funny and we think they're hilarious. There are actually part of the things that make them so funny actually drive some serious health problems for these dogs. So to help us sort of get to the bottom of some of these issues, we've got Dr. Lorna Grandy, Program Director of Education and Outreach for the Humane Society Veterinary Medical Association. Welcome, Dr. Grandy.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And as Carrie mentioned, you're with the Humane Society Veterinary Medical Association. Can you share a little bit about HSVMA, please?
Absolutely. HSVMA is an affiliate of HSUS, and we are sort of the veterinary arm. So we are a professional veterinary medical association, and our membership are veterinarians and veterinary technicians and students in those disciplines.
Great. Thank you. And so I know we're going to get to having you, our subject matter expert and vet, on here. We're going to get to some of the specifics about, French bulldogs. And we can call them, I guess, Frenchies. That's probably all right. I know they're often referred to as that. But this is your non-medical opinion, but what do you think is kind of driving, and I've noticed it on some of the social media platforms, cats, I'm always thrilled that cats have really had their come up through social media, but I've noticed a lot of French bulldogs, Frenchies. What do you think is driving some of the popularity of that, Doc?
Well, I mean, they're adorable, right? I mean, they really are. I mean, those ears and those eyes, they're really attractive to people. And I think they're kind of a perfect size now for the lifestyles that we have. If we think about the contrast between a Labrador Retriever, and my black lab is under my desk right now, so I'm not telling her she's not the number one.
There's no bias here, right?
My adopted dog from the local open admission animal shelter. And so, I just think they're a good size for us now and the lifestyles that we have. They're about 20 pounds and they don't need a ton of exercise. And certainly they're not capable of sustained exercise, which is not good news for them. But it is something I think that makes them much really appealing. And they are, they're adorable. One of the things that's interesting, sort of the psychology of it, is that over the years, we flatten the faces of these dogs so they look more human.
Mm-hmm. They're like human babies, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the neoteny part of it, that we call it, is really what makes people really attracted to them.
What's the word you just used?
Neoteny.
Can you tell us what that is?
It's infantile.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, and I know, I mentioned they've been in social media more, but there's also been some news stories. I'm a bit of a pop culture fanatic, so I certainly know some of the, stars from Lady Gaga, who has had Frenchies, in fact, famously stolen, and a woman was sentenced from that. Martha Stewart, Snoop Dogg had a lost dog that, social media did what it does and helped reunite him. And then I've got to get a shout out to John Legend, who is from my hometown of Springfield, Ohio, Champion City. He and his wife, kind of talked quite a bit on social media about a dog that they had that passed away that was a Frenchie. So I think it's just been kind of a combination of, when you said lifestyle, to social media, to celebrities talking about their French bulldogs. And so I assume comes with that, more and absolutely. More everyday folks are adopting them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sort of like, the Jack Russell was famous because of Frasier and 101 Dalmatians and, that kind of thing. So absolutely. Pop culture has a huge influence on this.
Yeah. And I think that social media thing, I mean, one of the things that I see a lot with Frenchies and other sort of smushed face dogs, and we'll talk about the actual technical term for that in a minute.
It's not smushed face?
No, I think that's not the scientific term. I could be wrong. Lorna will tell us. But I think that one of the things I see frequently on social media is that part of what people sort of enjoy about them is these little, like these little snorty sounds that some of them make, that little, I mean, I have a beagle who does a similar thing, but it's not because of her smushed faceness. Obviously she has the classic hound face, but a lot of the sort of social videos you see of Frenchies and Bostons and Pekingese, they, and bulldogs especially, I mean, bulldogs are a really great example of this sort of thing too. They have this sort of flattened, these flattened features. And am I pronouncing it right when I say brachycephalic? Is that right?
Yeah, brachycephalic. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about brachycephalic dogs and like how that feature has evolved in breeds over time?
Well, if you think about it, and brachycephalic means a short face, mm-hmm. right? Short head. And so when you think about a dog that's not brachycephalic and the nose that they have, if you just push all that, smush all that, you end up with these brachycephalic breeds. Mm-hmm. And the reason they make so much noise and the reason that you hear it, and I have to tell you, in the profession, I mean, we just, it's heartbreaking when you see these memes and these things that people think are funny. They're not funny at all. These dogs are really suffering. And if you think about it, so the tissue that's in your throat and in the back of your mouth, where air goes in, and in your nose where air goes in, it's all smushed up and it's hanging mm-hmm. there, and it air can't flow in normally. And so you're hearing all of this smushed up tissue. And as these dogs snortle and snore more and more, it gets inflamed and gets irritated. Mm-hmm. And so it just gets worse and worse. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we just really want to raise awareness with people that we need to be paying attention to this sort of thing in our breeds and not just thinking, oh, it's just the breed, because it isn't.
What are some other breeds in addition to French bulldogs that kind of fall under this umbrella?
So bulldogs, Boston Terriers, pugs, Pekingese, Shih Tzus, that type of, you know, that type of dog.
And so, Lorna, over time, stop me if I'm wrong here, but one of the issues with these dogs is that I've seen some pictures around like what the Boston used to look like and what the bulldog used to look like. The dogs of this breed, say 50 years ago. And how that has evolved. And this is kind of like one of the fundamental problems with selective breeding, right? Is that the very things that make these dogs unique and sort of emphasize the breediness of that breed get sort of doubled down on. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that and like how sort of the veterinary world is trying to like look at it and what the sort of HSVMA recommendations are on it.
Yeah. It's a really good point. I mean, I think it's like so many things that people do, right? We go too far, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to have a dog that looks cute and has a face that's a little bit smushed or whatever, but then we take it to a point of absurdity. And it isn't just brachycephalic dogs, right? I mean, if we look at what a German Shepherd used to look like, and now you look at it and you see the amount of hip problems that they have, or you see Dalmatians, and when they become popular, you know, we end up with dogs that can't, you know, they have really bad urinary tract problems. We're exaggerating features. So let's talk about brachy specifically. Mm. We're exaggerating these features to the point of absurdity. And not only just their faces, but also if you think about the way their bodies are, right? They have the crookedy little legs. They're also, I'll give you another $100 word, they're also chondrodystrophic, right? Mm-hmm. So they have these crookedy legs and really broad chests. And all of that makes for serious orthopedic issues. That cork screw tail that everybody loves mm-hmm. makes for spinal issues. We're exaggerating the features to the point where it is very detrimental to the dogs themselves. And so the UK has really been a leader on this, the British mm-hmm. Veterinary Association, and HSVMA has also been getting involved in this. HSVMA has a campaign called The Cost of Cuteness. And if you go to our website, hsvma.org, you can get a fact sheet about brachycephalic dogs and some of the information. And we're trying to not only educate veterinarians, because we want veterinarians to understand this much more in detail, but we want to educate the public as well as to what to look for. And the interesting part is they don't have to be this exaggerated. There are different breeders, different bloodlines. And so if people really want to get these dogs, there are ways for you to maybe get a dog that isn't going to be quite as much of a medical disaster as some others.
Mm. Dr. Grady, you mentioned, what was that word? Can you define that? Condo dystrophic.
So think about, so the most exaggerated, think about dachshunds, basset hounds, the way that their legs are kind of crookedy. Like when I have to take, when I have to put an IV catheter in a dachshund's leg, I'm like, oh boy, you know, because it's just,
where's the leg?
Tiny little crookedy thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so most of these, most of the brachycephalic dogs are also condodystrophic. So they have a lot of orthopedic issues as well.
This is sort of a personal thing, but one of the ways that I think I'm not immune to this. I think bulldogs and Frenchies are just adorable. Yeah. But I remember like years ago when I had my tonsils out, I was having all this sort of like nighttime thing where I would do the snort thing, right? And I would have all this sort of breathing issues. And it sort of really drove home to me what these dogs must be experiencing, because a lot of them are basically, it's like if you pressed your nostrils closed all the time and we're trying to breathe through your closed nostrils, that's what those dogs like are having to live like on a kind of regular basis. And it's like, I can't imagine. It's like being sick sort of all the time.
It is. And you know, when people say they don't need a lot of exercise, well, they're hypoxic all the time. Right. Their oxygen
they can't
levels,
exercise.
Right. So they can't exercise. Yeah. And also, you know, there are some things that people talk about, you know, this is how the breed sleeps and that sort of thing. You know, people start to observe their dogs a little bit. You know, if you see them raising their head all the time, or some of them will sleep with a toy in their mouth, you know, just because they know that they can't breathe through their nose. And that's the way that they breathe. So there are certain.
So it keeps their mouth open that way.
Yeah. So there are certain behaviors that you see in these dogs that people kind of think are funny, or like the way they'll sit weird or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, because
they're compensating
to sit in another way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Increased medical issues, but what did they have a lower life expectancy? I would assume.
So that's interesting that you asked, because there was a study in the UK, I don't think it was even 2 years ago, by a veterinarian, Dr. O'Neill, and he found that the French bulldog's life expectancy is 4.5 years.
Wow.
How does that compare with other dogs?
It's the lowest.
It's the lowest.
And the interesting thing is, when you think about it, people are paying $4,000 and $5,000 for these dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so sad, I think, in a level of just for the dogs, but also for consumers. You know, I mean, I actually have a friend who's an extremely intelligent woman, and her Frenchie died. It was a long, complicated story with her veterinarian, but she's angry to this day at the veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it. And I think about it, and the story I heard, I'm sure the veterinary practice is also heartbroken, but you're bringing in an animal that is so high risk to begin with, mm-hmm. with such major problems. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, I don't mean to scare people, because we see brachycephalic dogs all the time, and there are textbooks. I mean, this is scary, mm-hmm. right? There are textbooks about like how to take care of brachycephalic dogs. We know how to put them under anesthesia. We know how to be careful, but we have to, it's special. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole other thing when we've got to spay somebody's French bulldog. It works. We do it all the time successfully. But when people are like, well, why does it cost so much? It's like, these are all the other precautions that have to be taken.
Wow.
And so I wonder when we, you know, this probably happens historically when we have dogs that become popular. They're in the zeitgeist, they're in the media, they're in maybe films. I mean, obviously we want to encourage folks, you know, their popularity at some point may wane. I mean, it took 31 years for the lab retrievers not to be the most popular, but, you know, our shelters and folks at some point could see, you know, there's too many of these dogs and they wind up in care, and we don't want to discourage people from adopting, you know, a French bulldog if they have an opportunity. But I do think it's important that people understand there might be some specific medical issues that these dogs face by no fault, of course, of their own. And so, I mean, I assume there's some not cautionary tales, but some tips to give folks that are considering, you know, a dog like this.
Well, and I think I would certainly recommend that people adopt a brachycephalic dog, and it's already happening. that many of them are out there for adoption. There are a lot of rescue groups. I know a woman who runs a French bulldog rescue group outside of Chicago, and she said that the veterinary ERs have her on speed dial because people are bringing dogs that are in such trouble, and folks can't afford the veterinary bills. And so these dogs are given up frequently because people can't afford the veterinary bills. So I would certainly try to find a rescue. I would certainly try to, you know, speak to your local shelter and think about adopting a dog. Now, having said that, you know, I would always want to say to people, even, you know, if you're going to adopt a dog, you should be trying to adopt a healthy dog. The truth is, though, you can pay $4,000 or $5,000 for a Frenchie that's going to have a lot of problems, or you can adopt a Frenchie, right? I mean, I have a friend who, God bless them, you know, they're a couple that love bulldogs. And they adopt these bulldogs that are in so much trouble, skin problems, breathing problems, all these issues. But they adore them and they give them a great life during the time that they have them. They really love them.
Yeah, you see that all the time with the Georgia football games, that poor bulldog who's their mascot, Ugga, which is like on the, I can't remember, he's like this, what, like the, I can't remember how many generations of Uggas that there have been now, but every time I see him by the sidelines, he's, you know, so adorable, and he's clearly very, very uncomfortable. So Lorna, one thing I would love to know, I mean, you mentioned the UK is really leading on this. I remember, and I feel like maybe it was about 10 years ago, that documentary called Pedigree Dogs Exposed came out. Yes. And I think that changed a lot in the UK. And I'm curious about, is any of that change in the UK picking up in the States? It's like, are you seeing any good trends here? Or is it still like, I mean, clearly it's still a problem that the HSVMA has this campaign about the cost of cuteness about it.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, HSVMA is kind of, we've always been, you know, we're the home for more progressive veterinarians, right, that have a humane slant on things. And so we've always been talking about this kind of thing and developed this campaign. So we're doing similar things here. One of the things that's unique that's happening in the UK, and again, it isn't ideal, right? I don't want to say it's all been solved because it hasn't, but at least, so their kennel club, which is sort of the equivalent to our AKC, they're working with the British Veterinary Association. So it's not just about brachycephalic dogs. It's about purebred dogs in general. And we could talk about that all day, right? But it's about trying to educate consumers about what to look for when you're trying, when you're looking for a purebred dog in general. And so, you know, the idea that the AKC would work with veterinary groups and to really try to ferret out some of these issues. So for example, here, if a French bulldog needs throat surgery, which happens often, these brachycephalic dogs need to have that redundant tissue in the back of their throat removed so they can breathe. So add another $3,000 or $4,000 to your cost of this dog, right? And so if that happens here in the United States, that's not reported anywhere. Nobody knows that. In the UK, if a veterinarian does a surgery like that, they have to report it.
Oh, interesting.
And so it becomes in the, it sort of becomes part of that breeder's database. And because you're not supposed to, technically, if I do a surgery like that on a brachycephalic dog, that's usually a surgery that's done more by sort of board certified veterinary surgeons. But if we do a cosmetic surgery to help a dog live a better life, ethically, we are not supposed to be, people are not supposed to be breeding those dogs or showing those dogs. But some of those surgeries don't show up, right?
That's really interesting, Doc. Are they collecting just overall more information because of that collaboration, or specifically on Boaz dogs, or?
No, on purebred dogs in general. So if a veterinarian in the UK does a cosmetic surgery that alters the look of an animal that is genetic, right? So you may not see that this dog has this. Let's say I fix eyelids, right? Dog has bad eyelids. I fix the eyelids. You may not be able to tell that that's been done, but genetically, that's still going to be passed on from that dog. So that has to be reported to a database. And it is a collaboration between the Kennel Club and the veterinary, the British Veterinary Association.
That's impressive that they have, that they're working together. I mean, it seems to me like, in addition to some of the things we've talked about for listeners, you know, be aware of what you're adopting, know the specific things with the dog, but even from a policy standpoint or long-term solution, just having, you know, our version of that, you know, working more with the vet community to really capture some of that data would impact, you know, a whole host of things, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think the cautions for people buying, if they want to buy a brachycephalic, right, we want people to adopt. There are plenty of these homeless dogs. If you want to be buying one of these dogs, I think that all the things that we talk about in general about looking for a purebred dog, you're going to buy a dog. You know, for me, there is one major thing that everybody needs to know is to never buy a dog sight unseen. Mm-hmm. Online, always mm-hmm. visit where it was born and raised. Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. And if you can't, your friend who lives in that area or your cousin who lives in that area should be going to these places and visiting. And we can, you know, we can talk if you want about sort of what people should be looking for. But if we just asked people to do that, you know, stop buying in a pet shop where you can't see where the puppies were born and raised. Stop believing somebody online that you're having a conversation with on a keyboard. I mean, you just, it's really hard to explain to people how treacherous the dog breeding world really is. Mm-hmm. There are reputable breeders out there. There are people who care, and you need to find those people. And not what I call them greedy, opportunistic puppy breed sellers. You know, I call them GOPs. You know, they're not, I don't even want to call them breeders. You know, they're just people who pump out quantities of dogs, and whatever the popular dog is, they're going to, you know, switch to that.
For nothing more than profit.
And the demand is huge. I mean, people are not aware. I mean, there's a real disconnect in studies have shown there's a disconnect between mm-hmm. people talking to people online, thinking that they're getting something from a reputable breeder, and then who they're actually dealing with.
Well, and you gave an example earlier in Chicago Rescue. I mean, yeah. We're not at a loss for rescue organizations. If someone out there listening is swept up in the, you know, wanting one of these dogs because of their popularity, they've seen all of the TikToks, and there is a rescue that will gladly, you know, be willing to work with you to get one of those dogs, if that's the case. And you might, because of some of these issues, that maybe, you know, a needy home that can have access to that care these dogs may need. I mean, you know, don't impulse buy, don't do it online. Google any French Bulldog rescue, and you can certainly find one.
So I know that Dr. Grandy used the acronym BOPS to describe breeder bad opportunistic
greedy
puppy sellers.
Opportunistic puppy sellers. That's mine. I can't.
Kelly, I heard you describe. You used a term Boaz dogs earlier, and I think we just need to explain that one too. Just Dr. Grandy, could you tell us a little bit about what Boaz? Because that's also an acronym that is very much associated with these breeds.
Yeah, it's brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I always say to people, when your breed has a disease or a syndrome named after them, that's not a good thing, right? You need to be paying attention to this, like the, you know, the Doberman cardiomyopathy. And you're sort of like, well, maybe you ought to have their hearts checked before you pay $3,000 for a Doberman. So Boaz is something you will hear and you will read if you're interested in these breeds. And I really do recommend that people who have these breeds and or are interested in them to check out some of this information, because there was another study done in the UK that was, I think, was really fascinating. They surveyed veterinarians and brachycephalic owners, and the veterinarians said that 56% of the time, the brachycephalic dogs they see have breed-related health issues. So 56% of the time. When they spoke to and surveyed the 56% of those people, only 10% of them knew that their dog had a health issue.
Wow.
So 90% of them had no clue, which I think comes from the things we were just saying, you know, the memes of the snortling dog, the dog in weird positions.
Like it's just funny. Mm-hmm.
They think it's funny. And so I found that really telling. And so I think that what we want to do, you know, as veterinarians at HSVMA, we want the public to be aware. So if you mm-hmm. own these dogs and you love these dogs, and I can certainly understand why, we just want you to be thinking about it. You know, why is it that your dog, after 3 minutes outside, can't you know, is making so much noise and can't continue to walk with you. And I would also like to caution people as we're getting into the summer, these dogs are particularly prone to heat stress and actually to heat stroke. So please, if you have a brachycephalic dog, be really careful when it's warm outside.
Meaning don't, you know, don't walk. This is true of any dog, but certainly I think these breeds that you're referring to, you know, don't walk a dog in the heat of the day. I mean, all of those things have water with you. I mean, I think that's a really good point too.
Yeah. I mean, we really need to be thinking about these dogs.
Yeah. So Dr. Grandy, I mean, you've talked a little bit about what someone who might be interested in adopting one of these dogs should do as sort of precautionary measures. What would you like to see happening in the sort of breeding world in terms of how breeders are thinking about this issue and moving forward with these breeds that they sort of understandably love? I think, you know, like a lot of us in the animal welfare world have sort of mixed feelings about breeding, obviously, but there are people who are very devoted to their breeds and want to protect them and want to continue them. How would you say is a sort of responsible way to sort of move forward with you know, continuing to protect your breed in a way that ensures its health?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reputable breeders are pulling their hair out as much as we are, right? Because that it gives them a bad name. And so, yeah, I mean, there are breeders out there who are, and you know, you can look online and see the difference in the photographs of dogs that have, you know, they still are brachycephalic, but they are not completely flat-faced, right? And they still are small and roly-poly, but they're not, they're able to ambulate, you know? And so those are very basic things in life, right? If you can breathe and you can move. And many of these dogs to the extreme. So I would say to the breeders that are trying to have dogs that are slightly less chondrodystrophic, you know, have a better respiratory system. There are, again, we're starting to do it here in this country. There are respiratory evaluations that can be done. So in the Kennel Club in the UK has a gradation of respiratory evaluation, sort of like we do hip dysplasia, right? Here, we'll check dogs for hip dysplasia, and we will say whether or not, you know, they're excellent or very good or whatever with their hips. We can also do that when it comes to BOAS. So we can do that when a dog's respiratory health. So these breeders could start to go to veterinarians and actually have their dogs categorized in terms of what level of respiratory health they are in, and whether or not they are a dog that we should be passing the bloodlines on from.
If our listeners wanted to sort of learn more about this or take action to sort of help some of these dogs, what should they do? Is there a website you would recommend for them to learn more on?
Yeah, I mean, I would go to the HSVMA website. So it's hsvma.org, and you can look for our Cost of Cuteness campaign, or just HSVMA and brachycephalics. It'll all come up. And also HSUS has, you know, reputable breeder information. So if you go to the HSUS website, anything that you would be looking for a reputable breeder of any breed pertains to brachycephalics as well.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today, for joining Carrie and I, and of course, Dr. Lorna Grandy with the Humane Society Veterinary Medical Association, talking all things of the newly minted popular dogs, French Bulldogs. Thank you all, and until next time.